Radio Fly.
Hello, and welcome to Absolutely Terrible. I'm Corin.
And I'm Pratik.
And in case you're new to this podcast, I watch a terrible movie every week and describe it to Pratik. So, yeah.
It's a very silly format.
Yeah. Today, we're going to talk about a sequel to one of the biggest movies of all time.
Okay.
One that everyone has been waiting for.
Oh, no.
Titanic 2.
No. Is it underwater?
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, Titanic 2 is just like the original.
Okay.
If you strip away all the great special effects, uh-huh. the good acting, and the character depth.
Right.
And it is about a ship that is recreated to look exactly like the Titanic.
Okay.
100 years after the original set sail.
Uh-huh.
It was released in 2010, and it was directed by Shane Van Dyke, written by Shane Van Dyke, and stars Shane Van Dyke.
Right. So, was this movie made on a dare?
I hope so, because if not, he's got some explaining to do.
Did they have, like, James Cameron's blessing?
No.
Okay, so how come they call it Titanic 2?
I guess because it's based on, like, Titanic was a historical event, so they can just sort of... I don't know.
All right.
But I'd like to hear James Cameron's reaction to this.
Mm.
So,
well, he's busy making 14 Avatars, so...
Yeah. In the year 2040,
yeah.
when Avatar...
23, yeah.
Out, yeah. So, it also stars Marie Westbrook, Brooke Burns, and Academy Award nominee Bruce Davison.
Okay.
I guess his career has gone downhill a bit. It has a 15% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes
mm-hmm.
and a 1.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Right.
So a bit lower than the 1997 version, but, you know, that happens with sequels sometimes.
Yeah. It's tough. Sequels are tough.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you a Mexican or a Mexicat?
I killed two people!
I am an FBI agent!
My husband, he's having an affair with your wife.
Oh my God!
You're tearing me apart, Lisa!
So, our movie begins with some guy surfing in the Arctic, because, of course, that's where you go to surf.
Uh-huh.
So he's trying to catch some waves when all of a sudden a large piece of ice falls off a nearby glacier.
Okay.
This creates a large wave and I guess the guy dies.
Why is he surfing in such cold waters?
I know, and he's by himself and but I guess, well, as we've learned in these movies, just don't ask questions. Just
yep, my bad. Yeah.
So we see him paddle away and it fades to black, so I guess he dies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, we never see him again or hear from again.
He becomes a mermaid.
Yeah. Maybe it would be cooler if his body was actually what the Titanic 2 ran into, and that's what caused all the problems, but no.
Yeah. Hey, Steven, Frosty Steven.
So, next, I guess we see it's now the launch day for the Titanic 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a similarly designed boat that's supposed to go on the same route as the original 100 years after the original set sail.
What could possibly go wrong?
Exactly. So, we see a lot of people on the boat waving and a lot of people on land waving.
Mm-hmm.
And they're applauding. I guess in the original they had waving, but usually when they were going to take off.
Yeah.
Right now there's still some time before they're taking off. So their arms are going to get really tired.
Start waving 30 minutes before the departure, please.
But aboard the ship, we see two of the ship's nurses, I guess.
Okay.
and they're Amy and Kelly. And so they're talking, and then they look and they see a helicopter landing on the ship.
Okay.
And out comes Hayden, the ship's designer. And he walks in slow motion with four women by his side. He's even got aviator shades.
He copied the designs.
He's just a cool guy. And
yeah,
you wanna...
I copied it.
Yeah. And of course, Hayden is played by writer, director, Shane Van Dyke.
Right.
And he is the coolest guy. Even two women even walk up to him to get his autograph.
And they're like, how did you come up with the design?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, like, it just came to me in a dream, you know.
Yeah, man. You know how women go nuts for those ship designers. Man. Oh. And so in this time, it is also revealed that Amy and Hayden have a history between the two of them.
Okay.
So that'll come back. And, and Amy gets a phone call from her dad, James, who's a U.S. Coast Guard captain.
Uh-huh.
And he warns her that the ship isn't safe because of the way it's built. And
okay.
This will get repeated several times by other characters in case the viewer felt this was too subtle.
Yeah.
So
it's not safe. It's made of toothpicks.
Yeah. They just improvised down there.
It's all papier mâché.
Oh, no. Who expected it to go wrong? So Hayden winds up making a speech in front of a group of people, and he tells them about how great this ship is and how it's going to be an amazing voyage.
Uh-huh.
So now the ship departs, and we get more waving. Mm-hmm. So now it actually at least makes sense. But there's an extra there who doesn't look like he knows how to wave. So, I mean, it's a difficult thing to do, waving.
Send Jimmy to wave training, please.
I'm surprised nobody went up to him and said, I don't think that's how you do it. Yeah, oh, it's my first time. Oh, okay, we'll just improvise. So after the ship departs, we see it glide along the water. And this is when you realize, oh my God, that CGI is just atrocious.
Yeah. When it's bad, you're just so noticeable.
Yeah. It looks like an early PlayStation game. Like, it's just, I guess they must have just rushed it.
Yeah.
Or not tried.
Not spent any money, yeah.
Yeah. Now we cut to Amy's father, James, who's on a helicopter going to the Arctic, where he meets up with Dr. Kim Patterson.
From where?
Like, where's the helicopter coming from? Or
yeah.
Well, I don't know. I guess he just... he heard that the piece of the glacier fell into the water, so for some reason they sent him to the Arctic, to Greenland, I guess. So, and despite Dr. Kim Patterson being a doctor in freezing cold weather... She doesn't feel the need to wear gloves.
Right.
And I'm watching this and like, yeah, there's no way she's okay with this. Man, my hands are just completely frostbitten anyways, so. And yeah, none of the other characters wear gloves.
The color suits me.
Yeah.
It matches my nails.
Yeah. Kim winds up warning James about the melting glaciers as they walk around, some of the most obvious examples of green screen you'll see. And then after that, we cut back to the Titanic 2. And Amy and Hayden are talking. They're on the boat. And these two are, they're not good.
Not good actors, characters.
Yeah, both.
Okay.
Yeah, they're the chemistry between these two.
These are garbage people, so yeah.
Yeah. And it seems
Are they the protagonists?
Yeah, they're the protagonists.
Okay.
And I don't know. Other than one shot with the two of them standing together, it felt like they weren't even in the same room.
Right.
They're talking to each other, and we get some exposition about how he waited 6 months to call her. Her dad punched him in the nose. His dad died. So
it's a radio play, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
Right.
And we get some loud romantic music to compensate for their lack of chemistry.
Of course.
So, and this is about as much character depth as we get.
Yeah.
So that tells you what we're in for.
What's the song? My Fart Will Go On.
Yeah, yeah, they should have played that, but no. So the captain and crew are talking, and they underline that they have enough lifeboats this time.
This
so that's
time,
good.
Yeah.
I'm sure nothing bad will happen there.
Mm.
Meanwhile, back in the Arctic, James and Kim are inspecting the glacier, and then the ground below them begins to crack. And it breaks. So we see some random guy around them fall to his death. I don't know who that man was, but so long. And
goodbye.
Yeah. And
wee.
So, and this is more terrible CGI, by the way, just to make it more impactful. But of course, James and Kim make it to the helicopter because we need them, and they fly away, and while they're flying away, they see a piece of the glacier fall into the water below, which causes a tsunami.
Okay.
So back on the Titanic 2, there's some awkward party going on.
The glacier caused a tsunami.
Yeah, the ice falling into the water caused the tsunami. I don't know.
Okay.
It's got a message about global warming.
Right.
Yeah. So, see, it's trying. It's trying. So, this awkward party is like, we see people talking to each other, but we can't hear anyone. They're just sort of nodding and mouthing words.
Yep. Yep. I know that. Yep.
But this lovely party is interrupted by an announcement that all passengers are required to go to the lower deck because I guess they get word that they only have 15 minutes until they get hit by a tsunami.
Okay.
So
why not cause a tsunami by with an earthquake though?
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's how tsunamis work.
It should be, but I mean, yeah. I don't think they did much research before making this movie. They just made it up.
The makers are very smart, yeah.
Yes, yes. So Hayden goes and tells the captain that they need to get the ship to go faster to outrun the tsunami, I guess.
Okay. Right.
I don't know. I mean, but the others warn him and they say, no, you can't do that because we'll wind up blowing an engine. But he says, no, do it, do it, do it. So they do it. They speed up, and of course, they blow an engine. Oops.
Right.
And the ship stops. So an announcement is made.
We are fucked.
Yeah. Everybody, just run for your life. Although they can't run. But they tell the passengers to get their life vests. And of course, anarchy ensues.
Okay.
And everybody seems to forget how to run because they just saw them all start falling.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why they're falling, but they just fall.
Is the movie about to end?
Is it about to end? No. This is like half an hour into a 90-minute movie.
Okay. Seems like it.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Seems like the third act.
Yeah. You know. Well, you think about the original and how much time they spent with character development and all that. And this, no time for that. We want our terrible special effects we want to get use out of those.
Boy, do they take cut to the chase seriously.
Yeah, yeah, they really do cut to the chase. So Amy is standing on the outside of the ship, and she doesn't seem to realize the tsunami's coming until she sees the wave coming at the last minute.
Okay. And she's like, oops.
It hits, and she's okay because of plot armor.
Right.
So the tsunami hits the boat and takes away about half the lifeboats. Oh, no. Okay. Now they only have half as many lifeboats. So everybody's still panicking and running somewhere. I don't know where they're running to, but they're running.
Mm-hmm.
And all in different directions. And then since Hayden is the designer, he's given priority. So he's taken to the top deck to get on the helicopter. But he looks around and he sees people injured.
And but if they're in the middle of the ocean, where will he go?
Don't ask questions.
Like, a helicopter has limited range. It's not a plane.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what the plan is there, yeah. But he says, you should let these injured people go on the helicopter instead of me.
Right.
Because, of course, he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also been written by himself, so...
Right.
He doesn't want to make himself look like a bad guy.
Mm.
Meanwhile, on the other helicopter where Kim and James are, they're studying. Like, Kim is studying something. I don't know. They don't really explain. And she's
just reading the script. This is garbage.
Yeah, yeah. She's just reading.
Get me
the
out
script.
Of here.
It says here that another bigger tsunami is coming. Oh, no. So, I guess the first wave did very little damage to the ship.
Okay.
But after this, we see another piece of the glacier falling into the ocean. So, oh, no. We're going to get another tsunami wave coming to kill everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be bigger this time. So...
I hate it when physics takes a day off.
Yeah, damn it, physics. So, inside the boat, Amy and Hayden meet back up again, but they're interrupted when some guy walks up to Hayden, and he just punches him in the face and says, it's all your fault. And, yeah, actually, considering Hayden designed an unsafe ship, it mm-hmm. is pretty much his fault.
Right.
But Amy just sort of grabs the guy and lightly pushes him away and tells him to leave, and he just leaves.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't know it was that easy to get rid of an angry, violent guy, mm-hmm. but that's good to know for future reference. So Amy and Hayden decide to go search for... Amy's friend Kelly, because she was in the infirmary.
Okay. What happened to her then?
I don't know. Well, wouldn't you think she would have left the infirmary in this time? But of course not.
Right.
They get there and they see that something has fallen on top of her and is crushing her.
Was it the expectation of the audience?
Yeah, it was just too much. There you go. It's a metaphor inside this movie.
Yeah.
That's smarter than you think. So, since Kelly has this big wound on her shoulder,
mm-hmm.
how do you think they would patch it up with all this equipment available in the infirmary?
I don't know, with instant glue?
Wow. Worse than that, Amy decides to go into her wallet and she takes out a credit card. So she uses that and some tape and puts it over Kelly's wound to stop the bleeding.
Oh, all it needs is Visa.
Yeah. So logic would dictate that wouldn't work, but apparently it does.
Mm.
So I'll keep note of that for future reference. If I ever have a wound, just tape my credit card on that and I'll be okay. Next, we get an establishing shot of the ship, which is on an angle, but no one really seems to be sliding. So, eventually, after about a minute or so, we do get some red shirts start to slide for a few seconds. But mm-hmm. they're the only ones, apparently. And no one is affected by the ship's angle again. So, there's that. And this is followed by a random explosion that kills more red shirts, including the captain. And it's in the middle of the ship, yet there doesn't seem to be many significant ramifications elsewhere. Just like, oh, just the middle of the ship, those four people. But the rest of us are fine.
The ship is not physically damaged.
Yeah.
Right? But I think it was just a wave, though.
Yeah. It was just a wave that... Well, I mean, it's hard to tell with the bad CGI at times. But... but... I can't tell if it's damaged terribly or not. Mm. And it seems like some parts of the ship are A-okay.
The ship's feelings are hurt, though.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. The poor ship, man. So, meanwhile, Hayden, Amy, and Kelly are in an elevator and they get trapped. So Amy calls her dad and he tells her to stay away.
How is that phone working? I don't know.
Like, they're in the middle of the ocean in an elevator and
she's calling.
Phone's working perfectly. Yeah.
Of course she is.
Yeah. Mm. So her dad tells her to stay away from the lifeboats and stay in the ship because the tsunami won't have as big of an effect on the ship since it's big.
Okay.
So the trio decide, okay, we have to escape this elevator. So, of course, they go up top and up the elevator shaft.
They added that sequence?
Yep. So they decide to go up a ladder and... Like, Kelly and Amy go up first, and Hayden is the last one to go up the ladder. Yet, he's the first one to open the doors up the elevator shaft. And I don't know how this happened. I guess maybe he was in a rush and he just climbed over the other two. Or he leaped. I don't know. They're just too damn slow, I guess. They're up on the floor. They try to squeeze through some heavy doors. Now, Hayden and Amy squeeze through. Unfortunately, Kelly gets crushed and dies.
Because she's fat?
I guess so. She's fatter than the other two. That's the point.
Yeah.
So, poor Amy. Or poor Kelly, whichever one.
Mm.
And then Amy, I guess... Well, we don't see anything, but I hope she got her credit card back because it would suck to have it wasted on a wound that on a dead person. So I wish they would have shown that, just her take the tape off, take the credit card,
ripping off the credit card. Yeah,
I'll make a nice purchase for you. So Amy and Hayden continue on and they walk through some halls until they stumble upon a puddle of water which has a broken electrical wire hanging down from the ceiling and into the middle of the puddle. So, oops, they can't go through there. So what do they do? Well, conveniently, there's a bar on the ceiling that they can use to climb across. And so when they get to the other side, they hear knocking coming from the other side of a door, and a man is crying for help. Now, this guy, I believe I saw him earlier in the movie just running, and they spend about 30 seconds on him, and I didn't know who he was. So I'm thinking, okay.
Remember his face.
Yeah, remember this guy. Remember that guy who was just running that we showed for no reason? Well, he's come back into this. He's asking for help, and Hayden and Amy try to help him, but the door's jammed, and then I guess he's wounded, so he just dies.
Oh, I thought they would apply the credit card.
Yeah, they use the credit card to help.
Oh, no, it's a Visa. Oh, the Visa won't work on me.
Feature-length Visa commercial. Even if you're stuck on the Titanic, you will be in luck because you have Visa. But no, the random guy dies. So I'm glad we spent time on that. But it helped the movie achieve a 90-minute runtime, so that's okay. Meanwhile, Hayden blames himself.
For writing this movie.
Yeah, he should have been apologizing to us, but no.
Just break the fourth wall at this point.
Looks at the camera.
I am so sorry. I put you through this.
I just needed the money.
Yeah.
Someone was holding a gun to my head and I was in a lot of trouble.
I don't understand why people make movies like this. If you're making an independent film, just make something small.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just don't do a disaster movie.
Yeah.
If you don't have like a $100 million budget.
Yeah, I know. And this guy is the grandson of Dick Van Dyke.
Of course he is.
So he's probably doing okay financially.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it was a passion project.
Right.
He loved Titanic and he wanted to make another one. So the next tsunami wave finally comes in. And there we cut to a group of people outside who are just sort of staring at it instead of running inside.
They're taking photos for the Instagram.
Yeah, man, this is going to go on my Twitter. But no. And I guess they die?
Right?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. I don't know who these people were. So the Titanic 2 capsizes. And we cut to a shot of the ship and it's capsized.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, inside, Hayden and Amy are A-okay.
Right? They're defying gravity?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, maybe they landed on some pillows.
All right.
Or maybe they were on the ceiling this whole time and it just worked out perfectly for them.
Mm.
Water is now entering the boat, finally. And
what?
Well, they couldn't have water.
This water is really slow.
Yeah, just very slow.
Mm.
And luckily, they find one wetsuit.
Right.
So perfect. It was right there. And I guess the wetsuit is this movie's version of Rose floating on the door as Jack stays in the water.
Right.
Because as the water rises, Hayden tells Amy to put the wetsuit on.
Mm-hmm.
And so she puts it on and she gets ready to dive down. But as the water rises and they're both underwater now, and instead of rushing down to see if she can get some help, she sort of just stays there and watches him drown. So,
take my visa though, or my MasterCard, whatever you prefer.
So after he's officially unconscious, she dives down, and meanwhile her dad James's helicopter arrives, perfect timing, and he also dives down into the water.
Okay.
And so both he and Amy find each other.
No, but where does where does the chopper land though?
The chopper it doesn't land actually. It sort of stays there, and then they drop a raft, which Dr. Kim gets on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, the guy who's in charge of the helicopter just sort of dies.
Okay.
The helicopter crashes. I don't know.
Okay.
So James and Amy bring Hayden's body back to the surface and onto the raft. And we get a really long CPR sequence that goes on for a few minutes. But surprisingly, the movie just ends with Hayden being dead. The end.
Wow.
Yeah. This is, do you know what Asylum?
The what?
Like the studio, The Asylum?
What have they produced?
They've produced movies like Snakes on a Train.
Train?
Yeah.
Or plane?
Train. Because they essentially rip off movies.
Okay. Okay, I think, I've heard of these guys.
Yeah.
Do they push out movies around the same time like the actual movie is coming out?
Yeah.
To confuse the audiences?
Yes, right. Exactly. Although this one came out 13 much years later, after the original. So they spent their time perfecting it. And yeah, so this is my first experience with an asylum movie.
Right.
Hopefully my last.
Yeah, because it's in the name, you know? So if you watch too many of them, you end up there.
You're in an asylum. Thank you to everyone for listening. And be sure to watch the great sequel that is Titanic 2.
Yeah, and we'll catch you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.